Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us on this Tuesday. Plenty to talk about today, including Donnie Collins, Scranton Times Tribune, on Penn State football. We'll have Mark Gaughan tomorrow from the Buffalo News. We're going to shift him back. And we're also going to talk to Gabe Sidacropi about the Crosscutters making the playoffs. Game one will be tonight in West Virginia, but game two and possibly game three tomorrow and Friday at historic Bowman Field. We now welcome in our guy known internally as the Deflator.
For many reasons.
Kevin Herr.
Yes, I like in the Patriots equipment office have lost a few pounds. Yes, that's why I get the term Deflator.
No, it had something to do with what you do to the show.
Oh. It's a deflating personality. I'm sorry.
Tomorrow, by the way, our high school football preview between 3:35 and 4 will preview the games that you will hear on the Sunbury Broadcasting family of stations. Also coming up later in the week, we are going to have on Greg Pickle from Penn Live, and we will also have on Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report, and then Mark Gaughan is tomorrow from the Buffalo News to talk about Buffalo. Look, our phone lines are open. 800-795-9565. You'd like to jump in, talk. We certainly had plenty of calls yesterday. Don't know what caused that. It's interesting. There is one interesting dynamic that, like, I've tried to talk about this, and, you know, at times you feel like you talk to the wall when you do some of this stuff, but I've tried to talk about this before. But when you sit there, and I've told everyone, and again, nobody wants, I think it was Dick yesterday, I don't want to hear about sanctions. Sanctions are over. While nice to think that, there's still certain things. You just don't hit the reset button right away and you're off and rolling. It just doesn't happen that way. And part of that is, with the relieving of sanctions, they're supposed to get 20 scholarships that they could sign in 14. They ended up 25 because they could take five and count them back on the 13 class. The Hackenberg class that only had 11. And then you had 26 this year with Kevin Reiner transferring in. So Penn State has never, since they've gone to the 25-85 rule, which was 1992, Penn State has never brought in 51 new players in 2 years. Never. And they've never had 48 freshmen come in 2 years. Never. So James Franklin was able to replenish the depth of the football team, especially in practice depth, which makes a difference. You have 78 scholarship players on the team. 30 fall into the category of have played in games. 48 had not. And that's where your game depth comes in. For example, let's look at Naeem Wortman-White. He gets hurt. The next option probably up from the beginning of camp would have been Ben Klein. But then Ben Klein got hurt. So that meant that you went to your third guy, which is Gary Wooten. And then when Gary Wooten got hurt, you suddenly had to take the red shirt off a freshman in Jake Cooper, who was your fourth guy. That's how far down you went in a span of 3 weeks at that one position. And if Ben Klein comes into play, he at least have game experience, and he's a fifth-year guy, and you know, handle checks, handle calls, handle everything. He's got all that stuff. No issue. When you go down to 3 and 4, now you do have some issues. There's no question. You had to start a true freshman at corner. Well, you had to start a true freshman at corner because your true sophomore corner was unable to go in the game. And with all that said, did the coaching staff expect to win this game? Yes. Did the players expect to win this game? Yes. Did the play-by-play announcer expect them to win this game? Yes. Okay. So now at least we've established that off the top. But there is a major difference between game day depth and program depth. And it shows you how far behind they were in numbers that in two recruiting classes, where you have picked up 51 guys, you're still not at 85. That's how far behind they were on scholarships. Just a fact. Think about it. If you get 51 guys, you should be able to get to 85 like that. That's how far behind they were. They went with 48 freshmen and then three guys that were in the JC route. Terrell Barney, Paris Palmer, and a transfer in Kevin Reiner from Stanford. So those are the three. The other 48 are all freshmen. And then some are redshirt freshmen and some are sophomores now. But that's out of, you know, that should get you back to 85 like that. They're not back to 85. They're back to 78. That's how far behind they were. I mean, that's how far behind they were in terms of getting scholarship numbers back to where you need to. It also necessitates you're going to, and again, I've talked about positional balance how many times. All right, now let me ask everybody out there, where have they concentrated recruiting this past year and for next year? Where has the concentration been in recruiting? What positions have they concentrated on? And where is the position concentration for next year going to be? Pretty obvious answer. You can jump in anytime you want and answer it. It's up to you. Penn State's concentration, besides, across, you know, you try to get a quarterback, try to get a running back, try to get some receivers, you know, DBs, linebackers, but heavy on the offensive line. Why? Why did Penn State get verbal commitments from so many offensive linemen? Because they know they need them. They know they need to upgrade that position badly. They know how far behind they are in that position. Right? Now what's the concentration for next year? Concentration next year is trying to get defensive linemen in, because now they're looking at Zettel, Barney, AJ, and they know that, you know, in that particular spot, they're going to be down. You know, the Windsor kids can play. Take my word. Robert Windsor's got some attitude. You put him on the scout team, a little bit of tude there. A little bit of tude. But this is not magic wand time, guys. Now, again, should they have won the opener? Absolutely. Absolutely. Should you be upset they didn't win it? Yeah, you pay your money. You're not happy about something? Not like you're unjustified. Okay? It's one thing you always have to do. You have to be able to properly answer with accurate information, which I try to do. You try to answer with accurate information, or if there is an opinion that includes misinformation, it is my obligation to correct it. Because when the show's over, we want everything to be right. Doesn't mean I'm going to be spot on and everything. I mean, there's something I may not know, and I'll have to tell you I need to check it. But if somebody calls and they're calling about something that is spot on accurate, and we just go and we have the conversation, we talk about it. If there's something within a conversation we have that is not accurate, then it is my responsibility to correct it. That's why sometimes somebody will call me and they'll say, what about this? What about that? And I correct it. I said, well, you know. And I'll say, why did you correct them? Well, I corrected them because they weren't right. And it's like, it's a factual thing. It's not an opinion thing. It's a factual thing. And it's part of the benefit of being there. I use the example, like, how invaluable is Naeem Wortman White? And I mentioned, you know, somebody said, how could everything be on one guy? It takes a certain acumen to play that spot. Mike Hall was great at it. This is in Bob Shoup's defense. The quarterback on offense is Hackenberg. The quarterback on defense is the middle linebacker, which we've talked about many times in this show. Hall was that guy. But Naeem constantly was challenging Hall all the time, and they bounced stuff off each other. Hall, in the end, was the guy that would call out at the line what that check happened to be. But Naeem had the ability to correct him at times, and I've mentioned the Michigan game as an example. For one of the few times, Mike put them into the wrong defense in the Michigan game last year. Naeem corrected him, got them into the right defense, and that's the play that Zettel had the interception. And that's how important it is. We'll say, well, somebody else can step in there. Well, not if you're not used to doing it in game conditions. That takes a little bit. Klein could. Ben could. And I think in this mix of linebackers, everyone's forgotten. You know, I mean, because Ben was out there, started out training camp before he got derailed again. Well, Ben would have been the guy they would have turned to in that spot. Now you got to turn to Gary. You got to turn to Jake. And it becomes a different proposition. Also, you know, in terms of communication, Jordan Lucas has to be one that has to take a big responsibility in helping out in that communication. Even though he's moved to that safety spot, he's smart enough to handle it. We will come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This year marks Sunbury Motor Company's 100th year in business, and we will be keeping the same tried and true values we've had ever since we opened our doors, guaranteeing your car buying experience will be smooth and hassle-free. No spinning a wheel for specials you don't need or want. No pushy sales staff pouncing on you as soon as you arrive. No sideshow yelling. Since we began back in 1915, we have strived to be your most trusted friend when it comes to all of your new car needs, whether that's in sales or service. We strive to offer you as many viable options as we possibly can. Sunbury Motor Company always carries a line of few other auto dealers in our area can compete with our inventory of Ford, Hyundai, Kia, and Lincoln vehicles. There should be no problems with finding the right vehicle to fit your needs. Our friendly and trustworthy staff is knowledgeable in all of our products and stand ready to answer all of your questions and meet all of your needs. In honor of 100 years in business, SMC is introducing the all-new Auto Club, where Sunbury Motors will pay you for every mile you drive. Be sure to ask us about our Auto Club benefits. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Proudly owned by the Mertz family since 1915. Welcome back. Today's show from the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kierwitz, 11 and 15. Almost Worth, Donnie Collins today at 4:06. Scranton Times Tribune. Then coming up, Gabe Sinekropy in just a few moments to talk about Williamsport making the playoffs. Their opener is tonight at West Virginia, but then they're home at Susquehanna Bank Park at Historic Bowman Field tomorrow. And if necessary, on Friday, we'll have Gabe on the show in just a few minutes. Tomorrow, we'll have Mark Gaughan with us from the Buffalo News to talk about Buffalo. We'll have him on at 4:06 tomorrow. And then our high school football roundtable coming up on Thursday from 3:35 to 4. We'll talk to the announcers that bring you the games on the Sunbury Broadcasting family, which will include Selins Grove, Lewisburg, Milton, and, of course, Shikellamy. And Friday, Greg Pickle, Penn Live, and also Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. A rather full menu. And if you want to jump in, that's fine. But, I mean, look, just the simple math. Simple math. I mean, again, should they have won the opener? Yes. Did I expect them to win the opener? Yes. Did they expect to win the opener? Yes. Did Franklin expect? Yes. Yes, 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 yes. So let's put all that out of the way. At Penn State's 78 is more than good enough to beat Temple's 85, and we saw it played out. We watched it. But there also is a simple math equation to this, and that's why, I mean, this is how far behind they were. They've had 51 scholarships that they have given out in 14 and 15, which has never happened in the 25-85 era of Penn State. Never. 48 of those 51 are freshmen. All right? And even by giving out 51 scholarships, they only got to 78. Think about that. Think about the pure math of it. That's how far behind they were. You give out 51 scholarships in 2 years, and you still don't get to 85. That's stunning. Now, next year, they'll have an 85. They'll have a full, the whole deal. And now you're going to, and the problem may come up here in a couple of years where suddenly, how many scholarships you're going to have available starts becoming the issue at 85. I mean, this whole thing is so, the way this is all played out is so wrong and so convoluted. And, you have a proud program and a proud fan base that is aching for normal. When they start to feel like things aren't normal again, they really aren't completely normal. They're getting closer. And we have a proud fan base and a proud program. And something like Saturday happens, you feel like you've been punched in the gut. By the way, Lance Leipold, 110-6. Are you kidding me? I've never seen that before. Gabe, in a few minutes, news bottom of the hour.
You know what? Do you know who the six losses were to?
Mostly Mount Union, I would guess.
That's what I was wondering.
I'll admit I've done no whitewater research, not even in Arkansas.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, key routes 11 and 15. Hummel's Wharf, for a gutsy decision made by the Sunbury Motors people to allow Kevin each week to take one of their precious vehicles out.
Well, it's only because this way I can tell you firsthand what it's like to drive the 2016 Ford F-250 Super Duty. The 4x4 switches back and forth from 4x4 to 4x2 smoothly. No more of that wheel hub thing that they used to have to do in the 70s. All that's gone now. And now all you have to do is just flip one switch. It's available with a 26-gallon diesel tank engine, also available with a gasoline engine, 6.7 power stroke engine, which gives you the ability to tow just about everything you'd ever want to do, and, of course, haul everything you ever want to haul in the bed that it also has a nice little bed liner in it. The Super Duty has a little bit of an extended cab, so you have a third and fourth door, one on each side, so you can slide somebody in the back seat or maybe even three people in the back seat and sit five fairly comfortably and still be able to get everything you need done. It's a working truck. It's a playing truck. It's a truck you should check out from Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury. And all your electronics will be well charged because there's USB and accessory plugs all over, including a 110 outlet in the cab as well of the F-250 from Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury.
That's interesting. You driving a macho vehicle.
I know. It's about as manly as I've been in a long time. I'll admit it.
1,000 ways to go there, Gabe, but we're not going to take the bait.
Just let it go.
Yeah, I'm just going to pass.
Thanks, Gabe. I appreciate that.
My friend, good to hear from you. It's been a great summer. Let's get to an important point first, and then we'll talk about the playoffs. I think it was at Baseball America. Is that the publication?
There's been a
domino here, and the domino is as follows. New Britain, the Rock Cats, are moving to Hartford. New Britain wants a franchise. It looks like Camden's probably going to move to New Britain. So now they're wondering if Camden becomes a viable New York Penn League option. The article, just based on attendance, pointed out Batavia, Auburn, and Williamsport. What is your status on Williamsport moving forward?
Well, Steve, not only Baseball America, but I think at last count there's been about 8 articles that have, in one form or another, mentioned the Camden situation and mentioned us either alone or with groupings of other teams like the Baseball America article did. But rumors have been around for years that the Williamsport Crosscutters are moving. And same thing with, Auburn and Batavia, Jamestown before that, any of the smaller markets. And yet, at least in the Williamsport case, here we are 23 years later with our franchise, still in Williamsport. And as for next season, I can assure people, you and all your listeners and Cutters fans, that we are here at Susquehanna Bank Park, soon to be known as BB&T Ballpark. And we're working very hard, along with the city, to get funding, millions of dollars in funding for improvements to Susquehanna Bank Park, hopefully as early as next season. So we're waiting to hear on some things from the state. Should that be granted by them, the city would be matching it. So we are in planning stages for that. So and certainly planning stages for what's happening tomorrow here.
Right, exactly, which I would get to in a moment. But you can tell your fans, buy tickets for 16, we're in business.
Absolutely, 100%. The Crosscutters are here. So as I've said, 23 years. It's because we're in a small market. We're one of those teams that are always looked at, not only for people to purchase, which we were purchased in December, but for movement, especially because we're with the Phillies. And it has been known that the Phillies like to have their teams around their major league club. And we're one of those that really are around them, 3 hours yes. away. Ruben Amaro Jr. comes here. Pat Gillick has been here numerous times. Former president David Montgomery here. They'll just come in for the game and go back to Philly afterwards. So, we've been rumored to go to Phoenixville a couple of years ago. There was someplace else in the mix there as well. But here we are, calling Susquehanna Bank and Williamsport home, and that will continue next year as well.
Now, you have had maybe the most successful season you've had since 2001. That's safe to say?
It is. Yeah. It is.
It also translated. I was impressed by the improvements that were made to the ballpark, what you did in right field, and also by your attendance this year. How did you feel about how winning baseball, along with the ballpark experience, translated to your fans?
Well, we've talked about it before. It certainly doesn't hurt. Our attendance was up just a little bit. Revenues were up a great deal. It was really our best year ever in our 23 years in Williamsport. So we were happy with it. As far as, ballpark improvements, number one, the ballpark got, it sounds small when you talk about it, but the ballpark got a full paint job. And, with your house, with any room inside or outside, paint goes a long way to making something look a lot nicer. And, you know, we got a $150,000 paint job in and around the ballpark, and it really made it look so much better. This was our 90th season, or the 90th season for the stadium.
Right.
So it really helped. And down in right field, that's temporary. I mean, it was great for us this year, but the plans over there are much bigger, with a huge two-tier deck, nothing like they've ever seen here in Williamsport, with an entertainment stage, a full bar, etc. If that comes to fruition with this grant, it's going to transform the experience and even the thought of what you think about when you think about coming to a Williamsport Crosscutters game. So it will be really neat, and we're so close. We're so close, and we're keeping our fingers crossed.
Because of the season you had, you have home field advantage throughout the playoffs, so you have a playoff four-pack. It has some meaning because you could have four playoff games there. So let's get into how people can get tickets, because game two would be tomorrow night and game three, if necessary, Friday.
Exactly. The one thing to remember is that our playoff tickets are not, I repeat, not available online. You do have to get them over the phone. 570-326-3389 is the Cutters hotline, or in person at the box office. And Steve, you're right, up to four playoff games, two in each series, both best of three series. So up to four could be here at Susquehanna Bank Park. And, you know, I'm just hoping for two. We want to go two and out in each series. We'd love to have two more openings, but certainly not at the expense of losing. I mean, we'd love to go wire to wire. We've been in first place in the whole league, not only our division, but tops in the league from day one right to the end of the season. So we don't want to lose it now. We want to keep the momentum and get things rolling. Pat Borders did a great job in his first year as a professional manager back after 10 years, you know, in the pro ranks, and he enjoyed it. How can you not enjoy it when you're winning?
Not only that, but I thought he said some really great things to the crowd on Monday when you asked him about his Williamsport experience. Talking about the area, the people, I thought he couldn't, the way he handled was very classy and very genuine.
You're listening up there when you're getting ready for the game?
Hey, you want me to ever come down to do the pregame thing with you? I got time. So, I mean,
listen, you are invited any time to be my guest on Pregame Live. In fact, that would be a waste. It would be much better for you to just take my spot in Pregame Live.
No.
You do the interviews, okay?
Every once in a while, it doesn't hurt to be asked the questions.
I would love to have you, Steve Jones. So mark it down next season,
okay,
first series. You're my guest.
I'm just trying to think. I'm just trying to picture how that's going to sound, though, having the voice of the Spikes there doing your pregame game.
Listen, it's not without precedent. I had Warner Fusell as a guest,
yes,
I think twice. So, you know, when there's famous people, Steve Jones, like Warner Fusell and like yourself,
that's right,
in the ballpark,
uh-huh,
I don't care what team they're working for at the time. I want to expose them to our Cutters fans.
Well, I appreciate that. As for Pat's point about the town and about the year he had, I thought he said some really genuine things about the area and about the fan base that I think had to make a lot of people feel good.
Yeah, I mean, he's a genuine guy. Pat, he is, has some deep feelings about a lot of things. And I can tell you that he is certainly well-liked by his players. He is a players-type manager, and he cares about every single player from number one to number 35. So they love him, and I think that the looseness that he provides, the fun that he provides, and the backing that he provides his players has gone a long way for this team, you know, after they started out so great. But having him there at the helm was a real positive thing.
Something else that should be pointed out, whether it's two, three, or four games that you end up playing there, the same ballpark experience, just because it's a playoff, does not change. You're going to have the same level of entertainment and fun between innings like it were, like did I lose him?
We lost you for a little bit. Yeah, now you're
back. I got you now. Yeah, we're gonna do everything that we always do. It will be the same experience. I certainly hope it will be. It'll just be a few degrees cooler. That's all. But other than that, right. You know, we've got a T-shirt giveaway tomorrow night, courtesy of our friends at Rogers Uniforms, and we'll be playing launch a ball after the game. We'll do all our between innings stuff, and so, and hopefully 9 innings of winning baseball for the Cutters. Everybody goes home happy, and it's an awesome night.
The way I see it, it is tonight at West Virginia, tomorrow and Friday if necessary. Then it would be Sunday on the road, Monday, Tuesday if necessary, right?
Yeah, exactly. That would be exactly right. Now, the one caveat there, Steve, is if both series, semifinal series, go 2 games. So if both of them go Wednesday, Thursday, then the off day would be Friday. And the championship series would start on Saturday, go Saturday, Sunday, Monday. So lots of variables with the playoffs because we go so late in the New York Penn League, although we're really all the other leagues are just as late this year. But because we go so late, they want to get the playoffs done as soon as possible because a lot of guys, you know, will be packing up and going to instructional league coming up a few days afterwards. So
Would Staten Island play on Friday? Because, I mean, they're playing Tri-City. I know the game would be at Tri-City, but I know at home they wouldn't play because of 9/11. Would they play on 9/11 on the road in New York against Tri-City?
Yeah, on the road they will play, but not at home. And you're right. They will be playing on Friday at Tri-City. So that game does get played there. You know, if necessary. So, and you know, that was
a variable too.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the, you know, 12, I think, listed on the playoff schedule. So, and it's interesting to note that, you know, every year we all think about 9/11 for 8 million different reasons, all important. Mm-hmm. And one of the least important, but it certainly is, you know, meaningful to us is, and a remembrance is that we were in the finals when that happened. We had played the first game here in 2001 on September 10th. We lost to Brooklyn. Lucky for the Cyclones, they got on the bus and went home. So they got back into town. Had they stayed overnight here, they would have been stranded here indefinitely. Obviously, our bus never left on September 11th, and subsequently, the playoff games, the championship series was canceled, and we were awarded a co-championship along with Brooklyn of that year. But just kind of a footnote to the real seriousness of 9/11 was, you know, the fact that we were in that championship series at the time and playing a New York City team. It's always cause for pause, certainly for many, many reasons.
Okay, best of luck. I hope a lot of people get out there. Phone number again, and also you can buy tickets to the game.
Yeah, we will have great seats available at the door, but the Cutters hotline, 570-326-3389. Check crosscutters.com for all the latest playoff information in the New York Penn League.
Sounds great. Gabe, thanks so much, my friend.
Thank you. Don't forget, that first series, you're on Pregame Live, buddy.
I'll do it. We'll have a lot of fun.
All right.
All right. Okay. All right. We will come back. I tell you, Williamsport had a great year. That's a great organization. I mean, they are a good organization. They're a great organization. I've had a lot of fun dealing with them for 10 years. But, yeah. I'm more than happy to go on and do that. We'll have a lot of fun. Just have to prepare myself for the five questions, that's all. We'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Who do you have this week?
Shikalami at Jersey Shore.
Oh, those are the people you cut the ribbons last year before the season.
I did not cut them the ribbons. I did no such thing. And they had an undefeated season. First one since the 40s.
Said they weren't any good.
I did not say that.
Bulletin board material all year.
Well, then I should be welcomed with open arms when I go up there then on Friday night.
Doesn't work that way, man. You're the enemy.
If I was motivation for an undefeated season, I should be,
you're the enemy.
Revered at the shore without a beach.
You are Shikalami's Belichick.
That's right. I've been filming people for years. I've been deflating footballs.
Oh, I think. See, now there's a promo right there. Kevin Herr admits the problems.
You have to wonder, though, how many times can the Patriots get caught doing something or allegedly doing something illegal and nothing happened?
But today they applied to have the two employees reinstated. I will say this about Brady. His first press conference was just really weird and strange and red flags, the phone strange, the whole thing. But you know what? He has never thrown those two guys under the bus.
No.
Have you noticed that?
No, he has not.
He has not one time ever thrown those two guys under the bus. And when he had his press conference last week after Judge Berman ruled that the four-game suspension was gone, what was one area he talked about? How important it was to get those two guys their jobs back. He never once threw them under the bus. Well, and for him to mention how they should get their jobs back, I mean, you're Tom Brady. You're the big cheese. You're the four-time winning Super Bowl quarterback, right? Do you have to think about, quote, quote unquote, the little people? That part's impressed me. That he has been very conscientious about those two guys the entire time.